There's some things I really don't like doing as a pastor. One is telling the same stories. I really don't, you know, like that. And so I officially apologize if you hear the same stories over and over. Don't want to do that. But one thing I don't mind doing is reminding people that thankfulness is an absolute necessity of the Christian life. But we don't put sticky notes on our dashboard to say, remember to be thankful today, you know, that sort of thing. Because if you are spiritually healthy, listen to me, if you are spiritually healthy, did I say that right? You will be thankful. Thankfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can practice, and I think that's what we're going to do tonight, is we're going to rehearse in a way biblically what are those things that we're thankful for. It's always good to do that. My mom, when we were young, we would, at Thanksgiving every year, she said, okay, let's go around the table and name something we're thankful for, you know. And we'd go, oh, Mom, you know. And, you know, we go through, and it was, you know, in our hearts, we knew it was the right thing, you know. And then you got to come up with something. In fact, just recently we found, I told you I was looking at the VCR tapes. And in the box, it was a little sheet from Patrick from years ago. And it was must have been from Children's Church or something. It was, you know, those little handouts that they send the kids home with. And it was during the Christmas season, and it said on the back of it, I think I'm saying this right, it said, I am thankful for :blank, you know. And one of the children's church activities is the kids are supposed to fill in what they're thankful for. And he filled in toys, which, you know, that's right. It was for little kids. He was small, and he drew a little picture of toys and stuff and that sort of thing. So what are you thankful for? Now, we're not going to go around the room and know we're all going to talk about what we're thankful for. But what are you thankful for? You know, if you look through Scripture, and that's what we're going to do tonight, of what we see, how we see thankfulness being expressed, in general, I'm seeing there are three general areas. Now, if I sat here and I made you say, what are you thankful for? At some point, and probably 51% or more, would mention a thing. And I'm telling you that things are probably the lower portion of what I would define as biblical thankfulness. Now, listen, we are to be thankful for things. And we'll see that in the Bible. But there are other things to be thankful for. We have an outline. It's here, three... Well, we will have an outline shortly, but let me tell you what the three points are. First, and again, we're going to go through what I have a number of verses. The first place we're going to be is in Psalm 92. That's the first place. But we're going to see three primary groupings of biblically things that the writers of Scripture are thankful for. The first, and point number one, is thankfulness for God's goodness. Point number two, what we're going to see is thankfulness for God's people. And then three, thankfulness for God's blessings. The title of the message is Thankfulness Toward God. Overwhelmingly, in Scripture, thankfulness is always directed toward God, about God. Amen? And that's... that's right. The phrase, the phrase "give thanks unto the Lord" appears numerous times in Scripture. Look what it says in Psalm 92 and verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Isn't that great? It's saying this is a good, you know, that's important in Scripture. To give thanks to God. I don't know, it kind of seems obvious, doesn't it? It's like, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. You know, and if we're not sensitive to it, we can go, duh, you know, of course, I'm thankful to God, you know. But listen, don't, even though it might seem obvious, in Psalm 92:1 it says, this is a good thing. So don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted that that looking at God and saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. You are not wasting your breath. If you hum that and sing that over and over and over, I think when you get to the throne and we stand there in heaven, we're going to say, oh, I can do this all day. And you say, well, how can we do that all day? When you get there, you'll discover it. And let me hover on this for a moment, because this always kind of stumps people. It's like, how can we stand around God's throne and praise Him? You know, there are other things to do. We will rule and reign with Him. We're not going to stand around the throne and just praise Him, the only thing we do for all eternity. That's not what's going to happen. But there are going to be prolonged sessions of praise. And think of this. If you were on vacation, okay, and you went to, I don't know, what's your preferred place? Like a rainforest and a beautiful waterfall, right? Or you're on an Alaskan cruise and you see the beautiful ice and the whales and all this kind of stuff. Well, what's your favorite environment? I really like desert areas. I think they're so cool. And the beautiful deserts and the creatures and all the plants and stuff. I mean, you take your pick. And your hotel room, whatever, is you go out on the terrace and that's what it is. And let me ask you a question. Would you like to go out there and just sit there and stare at it for hours? The answer, yes. A beautiful sunrise, a beautiful sunset, the ocean waves just crashing, and you could sit there and say, oh, I could sit here forever. Okay, that's just the creation. Hello? Think of the Creator of the creation and sitting in His presence for hours on end. It's not going to get old, folks. And when you're sitting there and the rainbow's over His head and the four living creatures and the lightning and the fire and the beauty and the glassy sea, you're going to sit there and you're going to go, I can do this all day long. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich, so free. There's often an occasion of praise and thanksgiving of God also. So you start out with this idea of the fact, Psalm 92:1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High. It's good just to generally do that. But in Scripture, there are occasions too. And one example, I'm going to be reading from 1 Chronicles 16. In one example, it is the bringing of the Ark of God for the first time into the city of David. Now remember, there was Ornan's threshing floor, I think I'm saying that right, in chapter 15 or 14. And there was a problem getting it, because it used to be in Shiloh, and then when David took over Jerusalem, and that, so there's the whole history of it there in 1 Chronicles. And it's all very exciting. But now he's bringing it into the city. Now they're bringing it up and they're ascending and they're singing as they bring the Ark of the Covenant in. And in 1 Chronicles 16:1 it says this. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, right there in the city of David. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to acknowledge the fact that the whole context here is thankfulness. I'm so thankful, David would say, I'm so thankful that now the holy presence of God is now brought into the city. So it's this heart of thankfulness that he's doing this. And it says, and he dealt every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. He just gives food to everybody, right? So this is what a grateful heart does, doesn't it? When you're grateful and thankful, what do you start doing? You start being generous. When you're not thankful, what's the first thing you start doing? You start pulling everything in. But when you're thankful to God for His blessings, you start pushing everything out. Isn't that amazing? It's where generosity comes from, is thankfulness. Verse 4, and He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord of Israel. Drop down to verse 8. And they were doing this, and they say some names, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. So the Levites are singing and praising and sort of doing their thing, right? He says continually. Verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Now, starting in verse 8 is his psalm. Now, the psalm that he is going to publish here, starting in verse 8, is actually Psalm 105. And it is virtually, not exactly, word for word. If you turn over to Psalm 105, it's the same psalm. Now, at one point, Psalm 105, because I did the math, you sit there and look at them, and at some point they deviate, and Psalm 105 goes on, and then 1 Chronicles 16 continues the narrative, obviously. So it only contains a portion of the psalm, but let me read some of it to you. I'm reading from Psalm 105. If you're there in 1 Chronicles 16, 8, follow along just for a couple verses. This is Psalm 105, 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Talk ye of all His wonderful works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Do you hear? All of this is in the context of thankfulness. But the thankfulness becomes a rehearsal. You're thankful because of this, because of that. And what he's doing is he's rehearsing these things. Look back up at what he's saying here. Verse 1, he's saying, give thanks, call upon His name, make known His deeds. So it sort of summarizes what he's going to do. Verse 2, sing unto Him. Sing songs unto Him. Isn't that great? Have you ever in your car just sing to God? It's good. That's praise. It's praiseworthy. See, you say, well, Pastor Farley, your sermon is about thanks, not about praise. You said totally different. But not really. Because praise, while you can distinguish praise and thanks, doesn't praise come out of thanks? I mean, I'm thankful first, then I praise Him, right? It's hard to praise God when you're not thankful to God. He says, sing unto Him, sing songs unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. If you go back to, don't turn there, but if you were to go to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when they're talking in these tongues, some would say that they're angelic tongues of an unknown language, but in Acts chapter 2, it's clear that they're speaking in known languages. And do you know what they were saying? It literally says in the text, they were talking about the wondrous works of God. That's what they were talking about. Right here in Psalm 105, it says, you and I are to talk of His wondrous works. What are they? Well, the first place I see His wondrous works are those things in my life. That's part of your testimony. Isn't it true that when we baptize people and we hear their testimony, what are we hearing? Wondrous works. And you know, little kids will have a shorter testimony, an adult will have a longer testimony, but isn't it the wonderful work of God in their life? Verse 3, it says, I'm in Psalm 105:3, glory ye in His holy name. We just talked about His holy name in Exodus chapter 3 on Sunday. What does His holy name mean? Well, it means the self-existent one. It speaks literally of His awesomeness. Let the heart of them rejoice let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. So the ones that are seeking the Lord, let their heart rejoice. And then he says, verse 4, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Is that not why you're in church on a Tuesday night? I mean, don't you have things to do, like buy a turkey or something? I mean, don't you have like decorations and hanging lights? I know all y'all do, because my wife has taken down all the Christmas decorations out of the attic, and the living room is just scattered with a bunch of junk, right? And I know, good junk. I mean, all that good junk. And you should see the garage with all my junk. She's up to her gills in stuff with the cantata. We've all got stuff to do. But look where you're at. You are here seeking his face, and God will bless you for that. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Verse 5 says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and judgments of his mouth. What wonderful that we could go on and on. But we can understand this. But the point here is there is an occasion for this praise and thanksgiving. Sometimes the occasion is like here, David, something is happening. Maybe something happens in your life. Maybe you get a job, or you get married, or you buy a new car, or you do something that's really important to you. And what do? You give thanks to God, and you brag on God to other people. Isn't it great what God has done in my life? Amen? Another example is, I'm going to be in Ezra chapter 3. This is another example from the time of Ezra. And this is the laying of the foundation of the second temple. Remember, they're coming back in from their being captive, first in Babylon, then the Persians took over Babylon, and then the Persians let them come back. So Ezra, Nehemiah, it's all the story about coming back. Ezra and Nehemiah helped to lay the foundations of the temple. And in Ezra 3, they're going to be singing a song. This is Ezra 3:10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of King David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. It's great. It's another occasion, and they're shouting. By the way, some of the older folks had seen Solomon's temple, and they were weeping because this is a little tiny temple, you know. And so the shouting and the weeping was going on at the same time, and you couldn't hear the weeping for the sound of the shouting. And it was very noisy in the land, and that was all good. Was it okay for the people to weep? Yeah, it was okay. That gives glory to the things of the past. Is it right to praise God for what he's doing right now? Yes, it's all good. And I'm trying to think if it's one of the prophets alive at this time, but it said, do not despise the days of small things. And this smaller temple, as it turns out, would actually be more glorious than Solomon's temple was physical in its glory. But this second temple would be more glorious. Pray tell, why do you think it would be more glorious? Because the King of Glory would come into it. The temple is only as glorious as its inhabitant, and the actual King of Glory, as the Psalms say, would come into this temple. We used to sing a song when I was a kid. The King of Glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before him, lift up your voices. Who is this King of... Well, I can sing, but anyway... The King of Glory comes in, and what do? We sing, we praise, we give thanks. Why? Because he's here. Isn't it thankful? Isn't it a thankful heart that we have when when we know for certain that God has promised where two or three are together, there am I with you. Are you thankful for that? That give you confidence? He's literally here with us. He's not some far off God that's aloof to our situation. He says, if you meet, I will meet with you. And one phrase repeats in this consideration of thankfulness for God's goodness. One phrase that repeats throughout Scripture is unmistakable. If we could put the slide up, Daniel, because I want everyone, in case they want to write some of these down, these are just some of the references I'm going through. We are to give thanks to God for His wonderful mercy. This is very specific. It's found what we just saw in 1 Chronicles 16, but also Psalm 106, 107, 118, 136. It repeats all through Psalm 136. And what is the phrase? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. And if you read, well, Psalm 136, 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. Now you can imagine this being sung. Maybe the lead would say something like verse 7, to Him that made great lights. And maybe the chorus was, His mercy endureth forever. You can see how this might be sung, right? And then he would say, the sun to rule by day. And they would say, for His mercy endureth forever. And the moon and stars to rule by night. His mercy endureth forever. Wouldn't that sound so beautiful? I would love to hear the choir in the temple in Jerusalem. Wouldn't that be awesome? I love hearing our choir, so forget all that. I don't want to hear their choir. But see, this refrain, what's it doing? It's giving thanks to God. And you hear all these different... We can sit here all night and categorize all this. I love in verses 7 and 8 and 9, it praises Him for His creative works. He is the creator. That's the one thing's being attacked a lot, folks, isn't it? With Darwinism and questions about where we came from and where we emanated from. Every time someone talks about where you came from, that's an attack on His creator status. God created the earth, and if I could say it this way, He's proud of that. Or at least let me say it this way, He keeps reminding us of that. Because He is creator, that means He has this form of ownership or lordship that even Jacob reminded us of Sunday night. He is Lord of heaven and earth. He created all this. He has a stake in this. And we praise Him for that. Number two, we have... So number one is thankfulness for God Himself. Thankfulness for God's goodness. Point number two is thankfulness for God's people. Now again, we haven't even gotten to thankfulness for the blessings of God. First, we were thankful for Him. Now we're thankful for His people. And we see this in Scripture. We maybe too often give God thanks for things. But one prominent example in the New Testament is Paul's giving of thanks to God for the people that God placed in Paul's life. Really is interesting. He does it a lot. I'm going to be in First. I'm going to a lot of different places, and you'll see some of the references here. First, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And even though that some of these end up being greetings, I don't think they're throwaways. Because Greek epistolary has a form. So there is a greeting and there's a closing. And so they do have a form, just like our letters have form. Your writing has a form, doesn't it? You ever write a 5-paragraph theme in school, right? You have your theme. you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them what you told them in the conclusion, and you have your theme, which has 3 points, and you have 3 points, and then you have your conclusion. We write in forms too. And Greek epistolary had such a form, but again, I don't think it's a throwaway because I think he meant it. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 2 it says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." Now this is a church that by the time he gets to chapter 3, he's going to be basically spanking them for their unruliness and their ungodliness. He's going to call them babes in Christ. He's going to call them carnal. But here he calls them saints. Isn't that amazing? In chapter 4, he's going to say, "Listen, I don't mean to shame you. I don't mean to make you feel bad, but I'm trying to call you up to the standards," basically what he's doing. But here he sets the tone, and he says, verse 4, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you." Isn't that beautiful? He's specific. Now, he planted this church, so he knows them and interacted with them personally. So he's saying, "You guys are great. I love you guys. Now, you got to work on some things, and we're going to talk about those things," right? But he tells them how he loves them. And don't you like, people say this when you're giving a critique, you got to make it a sandwich, right? It's the sandwich. You give them the bread, then you give them the meat, then you give them some bread. You give them the praise, you give them the critique, and then you give them some more praise. Well, you could say maybe Paul is doing this, but it's not a throwaway. He's not saying it just to say it. He says, verse 4, "I thank my God always on your behalf." Do you think he was serious about that he was doing that? Yeah. I think he was praying for them constantly. And he's thanking them for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Or maybe he could say for the evident grace, because he knows that they've received God's grace. They're God's people. They're saints. And he says that they're enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge. So they are good teachers. He's going to get to chapter 13 and 14 and 12, 13 and 14, and he's going to be commending them for their knowledge and for their teaching. But they were a little prideful in that, and he's telling them, "Guys, tone it down." Chapter 13 is in 1 Corinthians because he says, "This is how you exercise your gift." How? Chapter 13, in love. Your gifts are not there to glorify yourself. If you love other people, 1 Corinthians 13, then you'll be able to teach them, 1 Corinthians 14. You get it? So he says to 1 Corinthians 12, your gifting is there for you to help God's people reach their potential in Christ. So, I mean, that's what he's saying. So he says here, when you're given grace, that in everything enriched by him in utterance and knowledge, he's going to be talking about that. He means this. He loves them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Second Thessalonians chapter 2, and now the Thessalonican church was, they were a very good church, they were on the ball, so he has less critiquing with them and he has more praising, but he says in chapter 2 verse 13, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." So what he's saying is you guys are showing your maturity. And whether it's ones that are actually stepping up and being mature in Christ, or even ones that have kind of a mixed bag, they're still showing signs of their grace and maturity in Christ. And he's telling them that. Isn't that beautiful? For those who Paul is interceding for is the next group here that he is giving thanks for. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1. And he's praying that they would have a spiritual victory. Now, when you study prayer, the prayer of intercession is one of those types of prayers that we talk about. You know, there are categories, as it were, of prayers, and intercessory prayer is one of them. And he says this in sort of an intercessory form, Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So here it is. He's ceasing not to give thanks. He's praying for them. He's making these mentions. And it may not even be complicated. When you mention someone in prayer, like on our prayer list, on the salvation names, I literally don't know who those people are. And so I pray for Geraldo Martinez every week that he would be saved. Now, I don't know him literally at all, and I don't know even who put him on the prayer list. So do I make mention of him? Yes, I do. Is it effectual? Well, yes, because God knows him. And if I'm praying for Joe Smith for years and years and years, and then he dies and rejects Christ, and he goes to the throne and says, you know what, you never did anything for me, you never helped me, to the judge, and the judge says, you know what, there was some guy who was praying for you day in, day out. Your grandfather, your grandmother, your teacher, your brother-in-law. And remember that guy at work who always presented the gospel to you? That sort of thing. That's what we're going to hear at the judgment seat. And here he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. But what are his prayers? Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's praying specifically. He's interceding on their behalf that God would give them wisdom, would give them revelation in knowledge. So that's like biblical knowledge of God. And this is before the New Testament is completed. So you'd think that it's like, hey, I want you to know things that aren't even published yet. Now, I don't think they're going to know anything that's different from what we know because of the completed scripture, but they're knowing the things that we know now that are published, right? So it's this, he's thankful for those that are showing maturity, for those that he's interceding for. And Paul gives thanks for the joy that he thought of them, that they brought into his life. There were individuals in Paul's life that just brought him joy. Listen to this. This is in Colossians 1, verse 3. He says, we give thanks unto God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. He's saying, we heard what you're doing, and we're really thankful for you. And listen, when you lead someone to Christ, or when you tutor or disciple someone, to see them grow, doesn't that give you joy? You teach a Sunday school class, and someone gets really excited, and they come up to you after Sunday school, and they say, Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, thank you for that. That was really great. I never knew that. And you get excited because you think, hey, I'm making a difference in the life of another person, but not only that, they're thankful. In 1 Thessalonians, this is a verse that you hear a lot, 1 Thessalonians 1:2, it says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. It sounds familiar. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this theologically is so rich, but I think it's also personally relevant. He was being totally honest with them. He says, we remember what you're doing. And it sounds like this. He comes up and him and Silas are having their morning coffee there in, you know, Athens or wherever they're at. And they say, hey, I heard from Thessalonica. Yeah. Oh, you should hear the stuff they're doing there. A brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they're doing, boy, I wish I could go back to Thessalonica, but you know we got chased out of there, but they're just doing a great job. Doesn't that sound right? This is where these writings come from, someone who's so encouraged and thankful. Thankful for God's people. And how many times has he mentioned that he's giving thanks to God for them and praying for them. A whole lot easier to be thankful for people when you're praying for them. Amen? I know. We want to thank God for our new computer and for the new Buick and for the new tires that you put on the car and for the new roof financing that I got at 1% lower than it was. You know, we thank God for all this stuff. When we thank God for the people that he's brought into our lives that have blessed our lives and enriched them. You get a new roof for your house, and Miss Neuschwanger, the insurance agent, will be very happy and rejoicing. But I mean, how much joy can that really bring to your life? But if you have brothers and sisters in the church that bring you joy, I'm telling you, that's a fountain of joy that just doesn't stop. Paul also remembered the relationship that he enjoyed with people. It goes on. Philemon chapter 1. Philippians. We'll get to Philemon in a minute. Philippians 1:3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. It just brought him joy. You know, that's always a challenge to me, is I want to bring joy in other people's life. I worked with this particular person at a particular place, and I had to tell her one. It was kind of humorous, but it kind of wasn't humorous. This particular person, every time she came into my office, she always had a problem, like a big problem. And, you know, and I said, you know, person, you got to, like, not always bring only problems. Can you bring a half solution along with the problem, you know? And I don't want to just always show up in people's lives and it's, oh, Tom's here, must be a problem. I want to be a source of joy for other people. And I know we can't always do that in every case. But I want to give joy for the people that God has brought into my life. I want to recognize the joy that they are to me, and I want to be a joy to them. Look at what Paul says in Romans 16, verse 3. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And we know the story in the book of Acts of Priscilla and Aquila and how they were tent makers together, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So he's saying, tell them I said hello. And all the people that meet in their house, please tell them. And boy, they really laid their necks down for me. That's where a lot of these sayings come from, is literally from the King James Bible. They put their necks down for me. I stuck my neck out for you. Where'd you think that saying came from? Specific people in Paul's life were also mentioned, like Timothy and Philemon. 2 Timothy 1, he says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, 2, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. You hear that? That's a personal love for another person. But you have to realize the fact that if Paul was to expound on this, he would say, thank you, Lord, for Timothy and putting him in my life. What a great young man. I am so happy to be discipling this young guy. He's going to be terrific. Philemon, he had to correct Philemon for something, but also he loved and respected him. In Philemon, verse number 3, it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Philemon was someone that was prominent and he respected very much, and who we know responded to the pretty a significant challenge that Paul put in his life. He said, you do what I'm telling you to do. And he fully expected Philemon to do it. Why? Because he loved him. We're thankful for God's goodness. We're thankful for God's people. And now that we've got the actual priorities out of the way, now we can start being thankful for God's blessing. Can we see this third point there, Daniel, in the overhead? Thankfulness for God's blessing. We can see that it is right in the Scriptures, and it is good to thank God for His blessings. The greatest blessing, of course, is our salvation in Christ. Colossians 1 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which He hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, I know this sounds super theological. It seems really deep. You could preach a whole message on just these two verses, Colossians 1:12 and 1:13. They're really graceful and so rich. But let's not forget what he's saying. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. What are you doing, Paul? Well, we got all this stuff to worry about, the kingdom of darkness. But you know what? I am so thankful that He pulled me out of this darkness and He brought me into His light, right? Isn't that what the blind man in John chapter 9 said? Who is this Jesus? You think He's Messiah? How did He do this? What did He do to you? And what did the blind man say? I don't know any of that stuff. All I know is once I was blind and now I can see. There is a generality that is as diverse as our lives, and we all give thanks for all kinds of different things. Something that you might give thanks for may not be the most important thing in my life, but something that I give thanks for might be diverse from your life. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, in everything give thanks. Everything. For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. You say, exactly what am I supposed to give thanks for? Well, does everything cover it? We would say A to Z, right? This verse would seem to suggest that even in things that might be considered negative, those things too, if given in the will of God, are also worthy of our thanks and our appreciation. The good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. All of it is worthy of thanks. Peter says it this way, 1 Peter 4, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery. Who likes fiery trials? Can I see a hand raise? Anyone here? Fiery trials, anyone? I don't see any hands. For you people at home, any hands at home? No. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Folks, you can't rejoice without first being thankful. Understanding that the trial is preparing you. The trial is testing you. The trial is confirming you. The trial is pushing you forward. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, I've just been mentioning this verse several times in the last several messages. I don't mean to repeat it, but I won't apologize. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. This is 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for thee, said Jesus. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And what does Paul say? He responds in 2 Corinthians 12:9, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Jesus chooses to use weak vessels. He chooses to use the things that are outcast in the world, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He uses the base things of the world to confound the wise. Look at us. Look at the motley crew we are. The world wouldn't, or you know, the world looks at the best and the brightest. Where are they from? Harvard and Yale, and they're in Los Angeles and New York. And who are we?
We're a bunch of people in Claremont. Who are we, you know? By comparison, we are not the brightest in the world. But when you look through heaven's eyes, we're God's saints. So in a literal sense, you are the brightest. You are the luminous ones. And this weakness, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And we can be not only thankful, we can be very thankful for that. Even the food that is set before us in the week of Thanksgiving, the food that is set before us, we're to be thankful for. I had a friend, and I would go to lunch with him, and he'd send stuff back. I'm telling you, it would be so embarrassing for me. He would always give the waitress a hard time. Don't raise your hand, but if you give your waitress a hard time, I'm going to tell you, shame on you. Ray, have I ever sent anything back? I eat it. Now, if it's like got bugs on it or something, I'll send it back. I mean, obviously. But if the steak isn't cooked just right and all that kind of stuff, it's like, you know what? You set it down, I'm going to eat it. That's just what there is, except for patis. That's Filipino fish sauce. I really don't think I really want to eat that. But they don't sit that in front of me, you know. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, 1 Corinthians 10, 27, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. So there is, and we're getting to the thankfulness here, but the thing is they're putting food down in front of you. And, you know, it's just rude to say, where'd you get this? How was this cooked? It's like if you don't want to eat, then don't go. He says, if you be disposed to go. So if you're picky, then just don't go, right? By application, we could say, don't ask if it's free range. Don't ask, is this organic? They have new things now. It's called Fair Trade Certified. Is this food Fair Trade Certified? Is this responsibly traded? These are all political correct buzzwords for new food categories. I actually read an article, and it said these buzzwords are part of a broader movement to make shoppers feel good about themselves. Is this fair? Is this responsibly traded? You know, the last thing I want to feel good about, folks, is my food, okay? But look what Paul says here. In verse 29, he says, why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Isn't that amazing? Who cares if it's organic? If it's not organic, I'm going to eat it. If it is organic, I'm going to eat it. He says, for if I, by grace, be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen? This is thanks. This is glory. This is you set the food down and you say, that looks great. Listen, if it's iffy. Now, in our family, because we have an Irish background, we would serve turnips, mashed turnips. Now, if you eat them, you will love them. But the first bite will take you off guard. That's all there is to it. You'll go, whoa! And so, like when Ray first, when we were first married, I said, here are some mashed turnips, my mother's house, my parents' house, here's some mashed turnips. This is a Thanksgiving. And I said, now we'll just give you a little bit and try them, you know. So if it's something you're not sure of, just take a little bit. You can hack that down, can't you? You just eat it and just say, you know, I think I've had enough of that. Then move on to something else. But we can be thankful for everything. Amen? So the bounty of the earth is given by God for the benefit of mankind. We are certainly responsible to take care of the earth. That's really a different message. But we need to begin with the idea that God has provided the bounty of the earth for the enjoyment of mankind. And in Psalm 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that are within." It's all the Lord's. And it's all for you. See, there are people in the world right now that say it's not for you. And the Bible says, no, it is for you. Yes, we have to be responsible and take care of it. But you can eat it. You can eat a cow. It's okay. But one bite at a time, right? James chapter 1 says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." He doesn't give you things to get something back. He's not doing it with ulterior motives. He does it because He is the great blesser. And He just wants you to love it. Food is actually for your enjoyment as well as for your nourishment. We love first the blesser, but we cannot miss the fact that He provides specifically so that we may live life of benefits in His presence. This is usually where we start, but you notice this is where I'm ending. Because I think we have to recognize all the first things first. And as we close, let me just read you from two Psalms, Psalm 103 and Psalm 116. Psalm 103:1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Isn't that great? He talks all this spiritual stuff. He talks for four verses until He ever starts talking about your mouth and what you put in it. Isn't that great? Psalm 116:12. He says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant, and the son of Thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee," listen, "the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord." Amen. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your blessing. And thank You for blessing us with all manner of spiritual blessing. Yes, Lord, we want to get those, our thanks, in the proper order. But Lord, the target of all of it is You, because we know all good things stream first from Your throne and from Your desire to be good to the entire world. This Thanksgiving, Lord, it is with full hearts that we look to You and we just say thank You. Thank You for everything. But most of all, thank You for Your Son. Thank You for the knowledge of salvation through Him and the relationship that we have with You through Christ. Ever, Lord, build us up in the faith and make us like Jesus in every way. And Lord, we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Thanksgiving. God bless you.